Blog Talk Radio.
I think that music note was my cue. So, good evening. Welcome to Introduction to Open Discussions. Today is just an open discussion about a number of things. Whereas it's unscripted, I do have topics I want to cover. There's health literacy, community development, faith-based living, faith-based organizations, social media, is it a blessing or a curse? Now, before we do anything, I just want to open with prayer. I would like to just take a moment and say, Father God, I thank you for this blessing, this opportunity to reach out to endless numbers of people to talk about the things that matter to us greatly. We have so much social media where we can talk about anything in the world, and most of the time it's something ugly that's said or all opinion and things like that. Well, I thank you for the opportunity to present actual data done by research, paid for by big organizations to kind of help us build a stronger and a stronger understanding and more strength in our communities. I ask that you bless me with the opportunity to, or the ability to really reach inside myself and speak openly, clearly, and completely focused in sharing important information. I thank you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, health literacy. People hear that, and we kind of blow it off. It's like, okay, what is so big about, What's such the big thing about health literacy? Health literacy actually can mean the difference in how you get your treatment. Health literacy will show difference and will help to kind of close the gap of understanding what happens in healthcare settings. We have so many major companies spent millions of dollars researching health literacy. Grants were given out to people to actually sit up and do something that any one of us in healthcare could have done, and just sit there and explain what our populations, our communities, regardless of race, regardless of age, regardless of gender, are experiencing. Unfortunately, the biggest issue with health literacy occurs in the, the demographic where we have more minorities and we have lower incomes. In addition, we also have lower literacy, basic literacy levels as well. At one point, about 7 years ago, I was reading a paper on health literacy. Actually, I was looking at a webinar, and there were these physicians that were sitting on this board, and they talked about literacy, primarily focusing on literacy, and it was almost insulting. I felt insulted. I felt offended in that they only dressed the Black community. Well, there's so much illiteracy in the Black community. No, it's not as much as it is worldwide. And it's not even just illiteracy. They did not provide for language barriers starting out. They did not provide for cultural sensitivities starting out. There are so many ways you can reach everybody, every single body. Remember the days when our grandparents and their friends would talk about their friend that had the consumption. It's not even. Oh, did I put you on hold? No, you're there. Tim?
Oh, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. The consumption. Well, nobody knew what consumption was. No, nobody knew what consumption was. And I bet most of you listening to me now don't know what, even though it's just you, don't know what consumption is. And consumption actually was TB. You're consumed by this horrible, horrible cough producing bloody sputum or green or horrible, horrible sputum, but sometimes it would even be dry and bloody. That it's a different, that was actually a different language. It wasn't that they couldn't read or write. It's a different language. Now there has been even more research done. So we have this definition. I went to the National Academy Press National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine. And there's this very long, very long definition. But I'm going to read this particular quoted part that says, the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. There is a young lady they have a little case that says a 29-year-old African-American woman, I'm going to stop at that moment. I also hate that categorization right there. I'm not African-American. Some people are okay with saying that, but I don't have dual citizenship. I'd rather be called colored than African-American. But anyway, a 29-year-old African-American woman with 3 days of abdominal pain and fever was brought to a Baltimore emergency department by her family. After a brief evaluation, she was told that she would need an exploratory laparotomy. She subsequently became agitated and demanded to have her family take her home. When approached by staff, she yelled, "I came here in pain, and all you want to do is an exploratory on me. You will not make me a guinea pig." She refused to consent to any procedures and later died of appendicitis. Now, check this out. This young lady obviously was not a healthcare provider, right? Well, I am. And as a healthcare, I was having a lot of pain, a lot of heavy cycles, there's just a lot going on. And when the physician said, "I want to do an exploratory lap on you," I said, "You know what? If we haven't found like an appendicitis or this or that, because, you know, I think I know what I'm talking about at this moment, I don't want to be explored on either." So it's not even just, it's not just understanding terminology and things like that. Obviously, I didn't pay attention to it either. I didn't even look it up. I didn't even take a moment to think, Sean, they're going to have to go in and figure out what is causing the problem. I didn't want to be cut on. I listened to my dad saying, don't keep letting people cut on you for no reason. My C-sections, actually, one of them wasn't absolutely necessary, but I wanted it anyway, so he kind of fussed at me about that. And I just said, well, I'll just wait. Eventually, I did get that surgery. It was needed, but hearing the word explore, I just want to go and cut into your belly and explore was scary to her. She died. There are other things that go on because we have our healthcare providers, and it's no fault of their own. We're moving fast. We got something else that just came in 5 minutes ago. I can't sit here and babysit you with words. That's pretty much what's going on. I can't sit here in this emergency room and explain medical terminology. But here's what we can do, and it has been a movement going on where language has been changed in the facilities. We're using electronic documentation instead of trying to cracking jokes about doctors going to school for a special class to learn how to read, write very poorly, how to write and scribble, and we're supposed to understand what that order is. So all of that's been worked on. It's more clear. Everything is, communications are concise, but also the language and how we speak to our customers has also been changed. And it's becoming more effective, but it's not as effective as it needs to be still at this moment. We still have this issue with health literacy. And the purpose of the Tea of Knowledge is really to reach out to people and talk with people about your diabetes. We look at TB, we look at commercial diabetes. Actually, it talks about everything. Do you have erectile dysfunction? Do you need Viagra? Do you need this? Do you need that? And then, real fast, near the end of the commercial, they talk about this could cause you to walk on a ceiling, spit fire, run in front of a bus, kill yourself, things like that. So it's like, I don't want to take that. And then, of course, there's, oh, my gosh, I got that prescription. I'm not going to keep taking that stuff, and it's going to cause all those side effects with me. There's the danger of too much information as well. We go, we have WebMD, we have all of these websites that we can go to. We can actually, we don't even have to know what a website is. We just type in a word, a medication, or whatever, and bam, a whole bunch of stuff just link. The search page shows pages and pages and pages, or your search engine rather, sorry. So it shows pages and pages and pages of links that you can go to get this information and go ahead and diagnose yourself, pretty much. You're going to have to, there's a trust factor here, and I completely understand that trust factor issue. Finding a physician, finding a nurse practitioner, finding medical providers who will actually care. And then with our insurance companies, customizing exactly who you can see, how many times you can see that person, what's going to be covered when you do see somebody, how much can you get, when can you get it, what are the intervals, all of these. The regulation has been become so minute all the way down to the thread in your clothing almost, that people we're losing people still at a rapid pace because we're just not believing in our healthcare system. Having that health literacy would help. Today, I'm not going to go into any particular disease processes. I'm not going to discuss medications at all. I'm never actually going to tell you what to take. I'm not a physician. That's a discussion for you and your physician. But I'm not going to go into what these disease processes are today. We're going to move to the next topic because this kind of segues in community development. You know, clinics used to be a plenty in all our communities. We don't even have clinics as much as we used to. We have more liquor stores than we have stores to get shoes for our children. We have more liquor stores than we have grocery stores. We have the corner pharmaceuticist. That's not a real word. I made it up. That's that dude out there peddling whatever. Our communities are not thriving the way they used to before. And Black communities really did used to thrive. We don't have our own cleaners anymore. There used to be that cleaners right there up top in the gardens. As a matter of fact, it was a little mini mall there. Anything you needed was pretty much right there. You had options. There are multiple schools in one community. Your children actually had an option to what school they're going to go to. Our schools are being shut down. Our clinics, well, we don't have any. I don't think we have any more of our own our clinics. The things that we need to help that will fortify our communities, the things that we would need that will be customized to our communities, they're gone, and no one is actually interested in bringing them back. We have so many people who are capable, but you know what we like to do? We like to show everybody on social media that bag we bought. We like to show everybody on social media our no chip that was done. We like to show everybody on social media how far we can put our ass out with this new dress on, or we can poke our lips out when we do our Snapchat and how pretty we can look. And we have a professional license to do something. We can. We have the capability. We got a big old network where we can actually reach out and work at building a clinic or opening and doing these things, and we are not doing it. It's us. It's those of us who actually can reach out and create the means. We can do it. It's nothing that we can't do if we set our heads to it. So I hear complaints and nobody's doing it. We don't have and we can't get. Yes, we can. Why don't you do it? Why can't we do it? We can get a grant writer. We can lease an office space. We can submit for licensure and certifications. We can do the exact same thing that we once did before and better service our communities. We can stop demanding that we have this much money for this and this much money. I'm just as guilty. I've done it too. We don't believe in each other. We don't believe in ourselves, really. We look for our opinions to be handed to us by the media, by ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, C-SPAN, MSNBC, Fox News, all of these places. I rarely turn on my TV. And somebody said, you need to at least watch the news. I'm like, no, I don't. No, I don't. I'm going to do like everybody else and get it off of Facebook. Because it will be repeated. It will show up. Because every one of those media outlets, they also have a Facebook page. Mark Zuckerberg has bloated in exponential ways. He started out doing the same thing that MySpace did. Next thing you know, with organizations realizing so many of their employees, so many of their corporate heads are using social media platforms, they said, well, I want a social media platform too. I need a presence. As a matter of fact, I don't really need that presence, but I'm going to get that presence and use it and not have to pay so much for billboards, not have to pay so much for commercial space. So I don't really have to actually turn on that news. I don't have to keep paying Comcast. I don't have to keep doing all of these things that, oh, you should sit back and watch a movie sometime. Not really, because I have a whole lot on my mind about my community. And people have actually said to me, all you think about is work. And what's wrong with work? We got to get out of the mindset that work is a bad thing. Work used to be a bad thing. It was called slavery and indentured servitude. That's what it used to be. So I can see how people use that word begrudgingly, that word work begrudgingly. But work brings development. Work brings growth. Work brings more opportunities, the ability to pay your bills that you create. So we need to work at rebuilding, redeveloping our community. I have, I'm going to continue to address this fully publicly because this is also recorded as well. So I can't just have a conversation with one person who is logged on. Actually have James Williams, the person I am married to, online. So just as kind of a break, do you want to address either one of those topics we started out with?
Well, then I would. The community development, I think like most of the mom and pops shops, as we used to call them, they've kind of given way to these corporations that have come in and set up their minute clinics and things like that. And so it's a much more impersonal approach, and they really have no connection to the community. So I think that's a very good topic that you brought that up. And if you can like motivate somebody to pay more attention to these things, that's going to be an awesome thing, honey.
Yeah, it's rough on us, you know. Our kids, they don't know what that's like to have that in our in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, the other thing going with community development, we don't have our as many programs in our service centers. I'm sorry, in our community centers mm-hmm. as well. I've heard probably 2 or 3 people talk about day camp over mm-hmm. the past 5 years. Just the past 5 years, just about 2 or 3 people. This is what day camp does for our communities. You know, without using or making it seem like a bad thing, like, oh, free babysitting service for your kids. I'm not going to be somebody's free babysitter. No, actually, what that is giving more people the opportunity to have a job.
Mm-hmm.
We can get our teenagers in these community centers. They can have a job actually hanging out with 4 or 5 kids at a time, playing basketball, playing sports with them, doing activities. Of course, they would have to be monitored and supervised by adults. It does require adult supervision. They can do crap. They can learn these things that we used to do, going to day camp. Day camp wasn't, it actually was not an all-day thing. But wouldn't it be great if we could actually have a place where our kids go during summer break, without having to pay extreme amounts for daycare? What 8-year-old wants to hang out in a daycare with a bunch of crazy toddlers? Kind of, they get lost, they'll sit there in this daycare that they have to go to and have their faces glued to a little device where they're in a game. They're not actually doing activity. So these are the things that we can fix by having our community centers open again. Childhood obesity. Joblessness in our communities. Well, there are 2 things. Not to discount daycare centers. Not to say daycare centers are overcharging. I think they are. But not to say that they're overcharging, things like that. I mean, there are times I was like, man, I should open a daycare. They can only handle so many too. They're only licensed to have so many children per provider. And when greed kicks in, they actually break those rules so they don't have to pay another provider and try to take in as many kids as they want. Hand washing. Cross-contamination issue, kids getting sick. It's a vicious cycle because our kids in daycare, but we got to stay home from work because there's a flu going around in the daycare, or our baby is sick, meaning, you know, up to that age where, aside from them going to school, we have to take off work because the daycare lady has the flu. There's got to be other avenues. There was a time when I was little that you could, if you were potty trained, you get to go to Head Start. After I kicked out of Head Start, I was only 2.5 at the time. I said 1.5 because he pointed out that he was 2.5 at the time. He wasn't a 2-year-old that didn't have conversations. Half of us didn't understand half his conversations, but he really knew what he was talking about. And Michi would always translate. But And he was very serious about not about when he went to school. He loved it. He went to Head Start, and he loved it until they came to me and said, "He's too young. He's still a baby. He's still considered a baby, a toddler." I was like, "Wow." So at 3, he can be here. They're like, "Yep, at 3. I said, "But he's 4-year-olds are doing." But we're over-regulating, heavily regulating. So that changed how my dynamics went at home. I had to figure out how to get multiple babysitters for one kid. The other two were in school. So our community, we need to have these things. We need to be able to provide options for our parents. They need to get a job. Well, how about you help them get with them kids? So drink some water, because, you know, you keep talking, you get dry, and I don't want to be coughing and stuff.
Sean, I would like to touch on that day camp idea right there. And having lived in Kentucky for 20 years, there are day camps all over the place for kids. All over the place. And of course, the employment rate is 90%+. I was right outside of Fort Knox, so a pretty thriving community. And what we're looking at in the Black community is a further erosion of the community and further mm-hmm. unemployment rate. There was a thing with Jesse Jackson the other day, and they have this program where they want to pay first responders and teachers to move into these highly affected communities and just try to give it a boost. There are a lot of mm-hmm. things that we can do, because there's a lot of funding available for people that are willing to run those day camps and things like that. But you have to put the muscle in, and you have to look for those opportunities as well.
You need to share that. There should be a way we can post a link or something where you can get it shared mm-hmm. on here. This is kind of my first time.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get a link up there.
We'll figure that out.
Right. Let's see. I don't know. So I'll figure that out as we go along. I really want to lapse in activity, because I was actually trying to re-promote from the Blog Talk site itself. The community thing, I actually get emotionally involved. I get angry about that, because people say, I've heard someone say, "You're talking about something from a long time ago." No, I'm talking about right now, today. And I can go even deeper and talk about the hows and the whys, but talking about the hows and the why does not talk about a plan. Going back to point fingers and all of that, that does not provide a plan, and that's not really a positive manner to inspire and motivate. So we need to continue to uplift and motivate each other, instead of saying, "Well, if this person had done this and that person had done," you know. So, there's also a thing with faith-based living, faith-based organizations, just having faith. And we don't even realize what that means sometimes. We don't know what it is completely. Think their soul and say, "Say we believe we're Christian. We say we are, some people say I'm spiritual. But when it comes to struggles, when it comes to those little tests, those little obstacles in life, you don't have the faith it takes to believe that you'll make it through it. So it was the worst moment in your life. And then look at yourself where you're sitting at this moment and tell me if you're alive enough. The possibility, anytime any of us have had surgery, I guarantee you, you could have not come off that table. It takes the smallest mistake. And I did say mistake. This morning, I opened my eyes. That's lovely. And yeah, we have that gift every day we wake up. We have the gift of life every single day. Our faith is challenged on a daily basis. There are people who just don't believe. They don't believe. What do we hear people say? There are more sinners in the church than there are out the church. Well, if you're selling a product, I won't use that. Yes, I will. Wouldn't you rather have more people in your store than standing in your parking lot? There are more buyers in the stores than out the stores. You know, of course there are going to be more sinners in the church because nobody on this earth is without sin. What is wrong with you people? I don't want to go to church. It's filled with sinners. And you're not? You know, I don't want to hear somebody talk to me with their holier than thou attitude. Well, I don't like that attitude either. That whole, I'm a Jesus snob. You are a pagan. You don't you sit here. You actually idolize yourself. You don't believe in God. You're idolizing yourself. You know, I this, I that. How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. The Lord shines brightly on me. Great. I'm doing well too. Thank you. I do feel blessed. I don't even know how to respond to that. You know, they had this meme out there, and this guy mentioned something about us being able to catch some last item on sale or something. And this other guy goes, "Won't he do it?" And he's like, okay, but this is a sale in the store. It's not like a miracle just occurred. But what he will do is move inside your spirit. He's not going to come down here and pay your bills. That's why you were given the opportunity to get a job, to whatever it is. If you got to work two of them, that's why you have that opportunity. That's why you have two legs, two arms, hopefully. 20 digits on each, on the combined four. There are people who are in wheelchairs, diligently working hard. I see people going to work sick with aggressive cancers because it goes back to our insurance company not really paying for you to stay at home or in the hospital, but going to work sick. Miserable, feeling weak. They're going. But then we have people complaining about not being able to get a job. Oh, I can't work because we all have somebody sick of, no matter what we're going on a day to day basis. Does make me not work. The having faith is not about what in your hand, and you should have brought up before. This piece, and I don't even know where it came from. I like had an idea of where it could have come from, where it absolutely did come from. You know, the having that just being able to have faith. Faith in itself is unlimited, just flat out complete trust. belief, we always say, you know, oh, I will do this, trust and believe. You don't even, first of all, you just made an empty promise because you know you ain't doing jack. But believing in something, when you believe, you know it absolutely will happen. Believe that when I go get my soda and that car is going to turn on and I'm going to be able to get my 7-Up. I know it. I know that's going to happen. But everything is functioning well. I have no reason not to believe it. Well, nobody can see God, and the problem is we don't trust what we can't see. We don't trust. We will actually argue theology as if we've studied it. We will talk about the Big Bang Theory if we're all physicists. I saw this thing just today, Facebook. We need to follow the stars. We were put on this earth to follow the stars, not some Bible, something like that. I don't feel like really looking for it again. I said, wow, that's an amazing statement. And, you know, but the whole universe was created. And that's just, you're looking at one Milky Way. You don't get to see everything. We're not capable of seeing everything that could possibly be out there. I'm not even gonna push and open that can of worms more, because then it'll become a faith against science argument. But being someone who I do have faith and I do believe, and I'm not walking around slapping people with a Bible. I'm not walking. That's not my calling. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not walking around telling people, you need to come up out of that depression. Here's a scripture for it. No, I'd rather sit there and listen to you. I'd rather hold your hand and hope and pray that you begin to understand that things will improve. It will be okay. And if you'd like for me to pray with you, pray for you, I will. If that's not something you feel that you can handle, I might suggest it anyway. But I would never force somebody. So you need prayer. You need Jesus. Let me put my hands on you. I'm not that person. And there are people knowing good and well ain't nothing your hands going to do to help nobody. But why do you feel like you need that you can put your hands on somebody? I got healing hands. No, you don't. You have dirty hands, and don't you touch anywhere around my face. It's having faith. I saw posts on Facebook about people losing faith. Fear of condemnation. Here's the thing. You look at that person and realize you can't, that's not their position. Only God judges us. Only God is in a position to judge. Your job on this earth is to be loving, is to give love, to give of yourself. That's what our job is here. That's what we're supposed to do. Not look at someone with a condescending eye. Not say, I don't like that race of people. I don't like what they call their religion. I don't like their religion. I don't like how they dress. I don't like their sexual orientation. I don't like this and I don't like that. That's not your call. That's not our call. You know, you can't. We have our likes, our dislikes. You don't have to live their life. You don't have to walk other people's lives. You can continue to just love people as they are. Love your family members. There is a particular religion who, you can have a family member who does not, once they've been baptized into that religion, that baptized person, if they no longer follow, if they break one of the creeds or something like that, you actually cannot talk to that person. It could be your child. You can no longer show love to that person, not openly, not out in public. Now, what you do in your household, I don't know. But this was actually said to me by someone. In that practice, you show love to that adult child that's made that. Now, you still have a minor. It is your duty to continue to redirect them. But if it's an adult child, you're so I'm like, well, what do you do with your spouse? I mean, you know, how does that work out? And a lot of people, there's always that one spouse who doesn't participate, who will not be baptized, who won't do it. That's crazy to me. How do you just not, how can you turn your back on someone? That's what we're taught. That's not, and it's not our nature, actually. It really is not our nature. You know, we become so angry with people in our lives because we actually have been hurt. And the only way you can be hurt is if you've loved. You cannot be hurt if love was never present. That's, you know. So, back to faith-based living. We really need to stand where we are with our faith. If it's not something that you dig, then, you know, I'm not saying you must do it. But you can't, but for those, for people who do say, I am this Christian, I am this believer, I am this person of this particular religion, but then you're complaining about things not happening in your life, what are you actually asking for? What specifically? Just that's like people are pissed because Obama didn't come directly and address their neighborhood. Do you know how many crazy? Your city, no, your neighborhood is one of a large number of the ill. So what he's working on is actually public policy. Can't even begin to understand it. That would be something to actually put on as kind of an educational piece. What exactly is public policy? So we'll work on that. But wanting to have something specifically done, poof, puff of smoke, fairy dust, glittery things start flying around, and magically you've gotten your miracle because you asked, and you asked with all your heart. No, you're asking for the wrong thing, because you're not, all of a sudden, that BMW is not going to be slapped in front of your door. That super duper phrase that you would like to have is not going to just be handed to you because you think you are the bomb and you're the best at what you do. Well, somebody else thinks the same way. In addition, that somebody else might do extra. They might have a habit of staying after work and helping to push their next day along better. They might go above and beyond. They might have increased productivity. Who knows? They might show that they truly are interested in overall corporation or company or whatever. So you didn't get that raise and now you're pissed off. You know, you can't ask God for a raise at your job that's run by man. And this is where we get confused. We're putting our faith in man as opposed to God. That's not faith. You can't say your pastor is everything in the world. No, he is a messenger. That he has a particular job to do. He is a messenger. Now, I can't tell nobody what to do, but if you have someone saying, well, you know, we need to get a new plane, you know, the church needs a new car, I don't know about that dude or lady. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do. when you receive the word at church, you actually should be receiving just that. You should be able to feel motivated. You should be able to feel inspired. You should be able to really, really, really know that there is a spirit moving in that place where where two or three are gathered. I will be present. So you can actually have Bible study in your home and bring in the presence. If you really, really want to see good things moving in your life, then practice in your faith. Practice in your faith. And again, I'm directing this to people who are saying that, you know, this is my Christian walk, or this is my walk in my religion, but you actually don't show that you have faith. You don't believe. And there's a big difference in believing and simply saying, I believe. On the other part of that, faith-based organizations. There actually are organizations that say they are faith-based organizations. There are, you know, corporations who decided that they're going to market themselves as Christian. I can't speak to Muslim type organizations. I can't speak to Jewish things that are specifically Jewish based, because I don't live in that in those faiths. I don't live in those religions, and I haven't had discussions with anyone who does practice. But look at that, and I really see it as somebody using the word Christian to bring in more business. They see that we got Joel Osteen on TV. We have TV evangelism, all this stuff going on. They're like, well, if this many people are tuning in and sitting in their churches, why don't I make my company a Christian-based company and see how much business we get from that? How about that? For our community, do the business, faith-based business. How about that? That doesn't mean that the people who work for us that have to be forced to practice what our religion is. We're supposed to be a loving people. We welcome everybody, except devil worshipers. We would be beaten. He can't come. He's not allowed. But we welcome everybody. And that's the thing about being a loving person. We have about 40 minutes left. I can't believe that I actually talked for over an hour already.
I'm on a whole comment right there.
Go ahead, keep going. Because I'm, you know, talking about myself.
I could believe you talked for a whole hour. You got a lot to talk about here, and it's all good stuff. Just thinking about the faith thing, I think this is my opinion, that first of all, a lot of people have no real idea about it as far as being totally confident that your Creator is going to take care of this thing for you. And mm-hmm. for a lot of people, it really takes maybe a strong person or a significant event in your life to actually get you there to where you know you have to rely on something greater than yourself, because you're not going to get through it alone. And it takes things like that. Everybody doesn't grasp it right up front, and that's just the way I've seen that work. But, you know, the Bible says you just the faith of a grain of a mustard seed is all you need to get started. And we're so busy trying to perpetuate our own will. Even when we say we're giving it over to God, we're constantly struggling. We want to take it back and do it ourselves. for, mm-hmm. you know, we're human, I guess. And it takes work. It takes work. I just wanted to share that.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You usually have a whole lot to say.
Well, I do have a whole lot to say, but this is your show, and I'm just kind of co-signing
here. This is an open show.
Okay.
It says, introduction to open discussions. So these are all open discussions. Kettle Talk is not a lecture platform.
Okay. Well, I was more
jump in at any time.
I was commenting based off of the comments that you were making already, but yeah, of course I have a lot of things to say about it, but I don't want it to go in a wayward direction. I'll be more prepared for you next time. That's what I do.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the next one.
Okay.
This is the fun one. And I'm also almost thinking this would be a nice format to continue with. Social media, a blessing or a curse? Why'd you lead in?
I'm gonna say blessing and a burden. I don't dig the word curse. I'm learning new stuff every day, and with all of God's blessing, there's a burden that comes with that. So we have this wonderful platform that we can launch ideas from, we can communicate from, keep up with our loved ones, you know, with just friends or actual family across great distances, no matter where you are. And it's also brought to the attention of the world a lot of the things that go on in our community. A lot of these things that's been racially motivated with the police and things like that, or have been caught on tape and it's on display for the world to see. So in that aspect, I think that it's great. It's absolutely wonderful. And who would have thunk it? The flip side of that is the other things that we see being put on social media, which are absolutely outlandish and ridiculous. People being abusive to their children, people abusing other people, doing hate crimes, you name it, it's out there. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's incumbent upon the person to kind of, not kind of, but monitor yourself as to what it is you're putting out there. It doesn't even make sense for you to put something incriminating against yourself on social media. Why would you be out there holding guns and wads of money? Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I have to say on that right now.
Okay. That's pretty much the same thing that I was thinking. You know, our egos are flying on social media. You know, I made that comment as I was going into the whole health literacy thing, where as healthcare providers, we're grown women posing like we're teenagers and doing things. We're professional people putting on pictures and, you know, all of these things. It's just not a polished look. But then, that's my opinion. That doesn't mean that what I say is the gospel. Maybe that's what everybody sees social media as being for. But when we look at social media, we actually, you know, you'll see a post, one of those, like, very much like the ones you were talking about, and you read the comments on the original post, because when we see it, it's because someone that we know saw it and they shared it, 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 and it becomes an exponential share, and that's how this has become such a big thing. When you look at the comments on those posts, you see all sorts of egotistical, hostile, back and forth arguments going on. And I guarantee you that these people will not sit and look at that stranger and have that conversation and will not do it. People I see on, and, you know, there are people I see on Facebook that who in my life, when they'll make a post, I happen to know that they will say those things in public. So I try to keep them not in public. I'm just kidding. I love my nieces and my daughters. They're awesome. But they will say some of the things I've seen them saying. And, you know, like with my girls, I'm like, okay, let's tone that down. Let's just tone that down a little bit. You know, if keep that something that you have with that person in private. Keep that discussion in private. Here, this is what I feel about this, and go. See how many people are going to chime in and be on my side. And if for people who are not on my side, I don't want to hear your comment. If you're not going to comment favorably, then keep your comment to yourself. Those type of things. Well, that's not fair. Because everybody has the right to express their thoughts, right? I thought.
That's one of our basic freedoms.
Let's talk about Chrisette Michele. And performing for the White House. The thing, Steve Harvey meeting with Donald Trump. Well, he actually met with Donald Trump and Barack Obama. I almost said President Barack Obama.
we wish.
I stuttered a little bit. You know, neither one of us, not a single one of us, has sat down and had a conversation with the people who participated in that inauguration or the pre-inauguration meetings or any of that. Neither one of us. And I kind of agree with T.I. I didn't listen to the D.L. Hughley, you know, live thing that he did. But here's the thing. We have to really focus on working on our communities. It just goes back to working on us, because if we really had been focused on working on us ourselves instead of wanting someone else to do it for us, there would be no Donald Trump in office. So, you know, while you're belly aching about this woman making the choice to go ahead and make her $750,000 by singing at that moment, then that's what she did. I mean, you know, so what? That's what she did. I don't know her, so I can't decide that I don't like her. I never met her. I don't know anything about her. I don't know what her motive, well, I know what her motive was, $750,000. But I don't know what her, that's what we see as her motive, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how hard she may have prayed about the decision, if she prayed at all. I don't know if her family encouraged her, if they encouraged her at all. We don't know the whole process and the decision making. These things weren't a phone call after the election was done. This was planned as a contingency based on who was elected. Now, people who were going to perform at the inauguration obviously pulled out, and I don't blame them either, because this is where we position ourselves, and this is what makes us all so great as a country, is we actually do believe we do the things that we have the right to do. So now you're going to sit on social media and tell somebody they don't have the right to do something? And you know who's doing that to her? Her own race.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't see all of that, but here's the thing that I would say, is no matter which way she went with that, somebody was not going to be satisfied. That's one. Mm-hmm. And for as much as we don't like Donald Trump as a person, he is in that office, and he is due a certain amount of respect that's due with holding that office. And I think if you're right as a person, you would greet and meet him with respect. There's no way you couldn't, really. I can't see that. So, you know, there, that, again, that's all, you know, it's a bunch of la la land out there in the social media world, and they get to say anything they want and put anything they want out there, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I can't respect Donald Trump. I can respect that position of presidency.
That's what we're talking about.
I can't respect him as a man.
No.
Just by the things that I've seen as far as that was shared via media. Once again, our media feeds us our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is so brilliant that he also tweets his personality.
Yes.
So we can't even blame media for poor doing poor representation or bad portrayal of someone. This is something that he's doing. But you know, I thought one time, I said, suppose it's somebody who is pretending to be Donald Trump. Well, you can't pretend that long and get away with it. So it's outrageous. You spend this much time tweeting when you have a very heavy job to do. I wonder if his hair is going to go from orange to white.
No.
You know everybody else's hair turns white.
I seen him yesterday, and I didn't think it was the same color. I think he had dyed it already, so.
Oh, okay. Because I'm pretty sure it's already white. You can't get it that orange if it's not already white.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad for Melania almost a little bit. Because you didn't have to get involved with that man. Next thing you know, you end up marrying him. But she saw something she wanted. Now you got it.
She wanted her millions, too.
Mm-hmm. Billions. Well, she didn't know. She did a couple million, knowing Donald Trump. Because remember, his divorce from his first wife, he filed bankruptcy so he wouldn't have to pay so much in alimony.
Nice guy.
People forget about that.
Mm.
Yeah. The first two got away. I don't think Melania is going to be able to get away.
Yeah. Well, that tweeting is his platform, and he is definitely on there, and he will pretty much lash out on there, which is kind of what we were talking about too. People just saying and doing anything, and faithfully every day something is in the news that he tweeted. So getting that free publicity, if you will.
Yeah. That whole I'm going to tweet. When I first signed up for Twitter some years back, I had it where my phone got alerts. And, you know, and I did it for Poetically Sean. Really trying to promote my book. And nothing about my book was ever shared or any of that. But, of course, I'm grabbing at anything poetic. I'm grabbing at anything in the arts. Anybody, you know, follow. Going to follow me, you know, I'm just following. And those alerts, I mean, I didn't know people were tweeting all night long. And I figured out how to turn off my notifications, but it's nonstop. Just like, actually, Facebook actually slows down. People, you can tell that people are going to bed. I don't know what's up with Twitter, that they have the population that loves to tweet. All of it is worldwide, and I guess the difference is who's on in your friends list, as far as Facebook goes. So obviously, the people on my friends list have enough sense to go to bed at night. But that Twitter, following people, happens from everywhere. So we're different time zones. Everything's going on all the time. There's always something going on, and those notifications. I went to tweet something one time, put up one of my T-shirts or hoodies or something, and 5 minutes later, no, maybe about 15 minutes or so later, I looked because I was going to retweet it, and it took for me to scroll past about 100 tweets. Well, I actually didn't. I just retweeted the link itself. But I had to go through so many tweets that popped up in that time frame. I was following the Bears while we were watching the game at one point, playing with it on my phone. And the tweets were flying like crazy. So it's moving much faster than Facebook, mm-hmm. and it's reaching people in far more places because they don't actually have to be on a friend list.
Right.
You don't have to have any direct communication with anyone on Twitter. Just click follow. Oh, I like that post. I'm going to follow. Oh, I don't like that person. I'm going to follow so I can harass them. I'm going to follow so I can stalk somebody. You know, it's just crazy.
It is. And one of the things that we really need to realize about social media, whether it's Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter.
Intuit, Flickr. What are Intuit and Flickr anyway?
Flickr is for photos, I believe. I have no idea what Intuit is.
Reddit.
It's Reddit. Become so ingrained. Reddit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that one either. I mean, I don't use anything but Facebook and Twitter. So, and I don't use them well. But no, it's so ingrained in our society. It's like part of our everyday life, and people are on there all day, every day. And the impact of some of the things that are going on with it, and that's what we really need to pay attention to. When we're talking about what the kids are putting out there, or even adults for that matter, and to be honest, I myself have become very incensed over comments that are made out there on Facebook and reacted to them in kind. And I said I have to monitor myself because I'll get out of control with something like that. But people have actually been killed over things that started on Facebook. And we're not talking about it too. Yeah, this happens. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to be more socially conscious, if you will, mm-hmm. about what that is and how ingrained it really is in our kids, especially. Watch them. You have to watch them. Lego launched a new platform for the kids to share their Lego ideas. Yeah, and so I sent that off to baby girl, and you were like, "No, this is not you. You don't need that. You don't need that." But everybody's getting in on the act. Mm-hmm. You see all of these different things popping up for you to be able to sell things too, because it's so fast. We can do things at the speed of light almost, and. Mm-hmm. People are really taking advantage of it. And when it's used in a good way, it's a good thing. When it's used in a bad way, it's a bad thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing with that too, like I was saying, our big corporations are also on Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I found a new one myself. It's called Mighty Bell. We
what,
talk
what
about
is
Mighty Bell, the system of Mighty Bell.
Mighty Bell, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get your own social media type page type thing. But with these organizations, media outlets, radio stations, news stations, being on Twitter and all of that, they will actually reach their listening audience and talk about who's got beef on Twitter. This person has beef with that person. This artist has beef with that artist. You know, they're already reaching, and that's why I say our ego are more present on there. What they're doing is using this media platform to publicly try to publicly humiliate, or they actually could just do it for publicity. It could just be for publicity. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, our newer emerging artists or our younger, less mature in the industry artists decide to mimic those behaviors, and then we end up with situations where, like you said, they end up getting killed. Come and meet me at this place. Come and do this. Come and do that. You know, you're talking all this crap on Twitter. Come and see me. I'm going to be to see you. That type of thing. And they get shot. They get killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this and the threats, you know, the hostility and all of these things that's on here. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that our media resources are using social media as a platform at all. But the effect is such a varying degree. It's there's one extreme or there's another. And as a community, we have to really continue to try to just be supportive and continue to keep warmth in our messages. A lot of reasons too why people are using social media so frequently, so much. It's not that, this is the best way I can reach this person or that, which is a sad truth, actually. Mm-hmm. You should have each other's phone numbers. Get on the phone. But you can't talk to everybody all at once. So, you know, there's that thing as well. Mm-hmm. with social media, you can. But the other part of that is people are very lonely.
Yes.
People are very lonely. And they get to see funny things. They get to see a name that they hadn't heard from in a while. Now they can actually reach out and communicate. They get to express something that they may be going through, and then they'll get supportive responses. That is a great aspect. That makes it a great tool to use. That makes social mm-hmm. media almost a counseling platform. You know, getting mm-hmm. that emotional support, getting spiritual guidance. You can do that on social media.
You definitely can.
And then there are people who are inappropriate. People who will stalk. So, you know, there's that good part, and then there are the dangers of it.
Yeah.
And speaking of stalking, I love playing computer-based games. I enjoy them. Township.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Love it. Yeah. That's not a video game. Yeah.
Right.
I don't have the dexterity to play a video game, but...
I feel bad, me either.
I enjoy those games, but it doesn't mean that that's something I need to feel obligated to do. So, I don't get angry if somebody sends me a game invitation. I don't.
Right.
I just ignore it. But don't get mad when the fact that I didn't respond to your game invitation. There are tons of notifications. The game one, because then I'll lose time. I know I will end up playing that game. And I don't want to do that. I have other things I need to focus on. And it would really be nice if we could all work at disciplining ourselves to focus on something we need to do. You know. I could have just partied with my girls last night, laid in bed all day, and forget to do that. I took my nap, and I was like, I got to do my show. I don't want to say I got this going on and then not do it. Whether people participate, whether I have an audience for it or not at that moment, I'm going to repeat and repeat and repeat, and ultimately it'll catch on. Mm-hmm.
And I think you're pointing out one of the, you know, aspects of it that makes it kind of crazy, and that's people who don't have that balance in their life to turn it off and not let it become a ruling factor in their life. This is what we're talking about, it being so ingrained in our society. If you got to wake up and say good morning, FB, and you go to sleep, you know, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and this goes on all day with people. I see it all the time. And that shows that something's out of balance with that person, really, to me. Mm-hmm. And another thing is that it's just being in this great country of ours, you know, once we put something out there like that, we don't censor what's being put out there unless the government sees fit to come up with some law or something to start censoring things, which they're going to catch all kind of heck about. But I guarantee you.
We start going into constitutional rights at that point.
Yeah. But you would not have this problem in China or North Korea, because it's absolutely censored. And, you know, we like to think that, well, you shouldn't have to do that to people to get them to, you know, conform. But it's just wide open, and it's like anything goes, and I think that's what we're seeing a lot.
Right. Yeah. I don't have anything against social media as a platform in itself. But we can't believe every single thing we see going on there, and you can't allow it to get into your spirit. This is somebody communicating via technology. Make a phone call. You know, sometimes we don't want to call some people because they never know how to hang up the phone. You know how you have those conversational cues where your tone drops? That means we're about to end the conversation and then a new one to start. So, my family will be like, Sean is just, she's always short on the phone. Okay, hang up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess I'm not going to do it. I just want to reach out to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it really is an impersonal way of communicating. But just like email, you know, there's something lost in that translation right there. But people have become accustomed to using those technologies versus actually communicating with each other either face-to-face or probably the next best one is the telephone. I have to agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, there are things I suck at. I really suck at. I mean, I suck at making phone calls, but I'm worse at sending cards.
Mm.
My family has just learned to adopt the whole idea that there will never be a card from Sean, which is sad. It's terrible. And I'm going to work at that. It's not a New Year's resolution or anything like that, but I'm really going to work at that, you know, because I get cards all the time. You know.
You do.
Yeah. So it's 9:22. Our show ends at 9:30. So we're gonna I'm gonna end with an overview of what's to come. Talking about health literacy is very important because that's the whole purpose of the existence of the Tea of Knowledge. At one point, I'm going to go ahead and actually promote my items. I mean, it's not. I really need to be more proactive in trying to develop my own business items. I am not sitting here in a position of judging and telling people what to do, but I do have a response if you have a complaint. You know, there's always some type of resource. We just need to help each other become more aware of what those resources are. Community development, I think that should be an ongoing platform, as discussion platform as well. And, you know, social media or and faith-based, having faith, I think we actually should have a moment where we talk about that as well. Some of the other things, and I welcome any suggestions on topics to talk about. I also welcome suggestions. I'm going to present from my Kettle Talk page a poll. I'm going to create a poll, and to add what that poll is going to do is just let me know, should we do this twice a week? Should we do it weekly? Is Sunday evening the best time to do it? I pay for this, so this is a prime time thing. Nobody wants to try to, yes, they do. They're on social media the minute they get in from work. I was going to say, nobody wants to get on their social media as soon as they get in from work. Slap yourself, Sean.
They were on there while they were at work.
Right. and then this is another problem it could be. Depending on the day of the week, I might be disrupting somebody's TV show. I'm probably that rare number of people who don't turn on a TV. So, just in wrapping up, I did an opening request for God's blessing, and then I'm going to invite you to do a closing prayer.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship via technology about the problems that are in our communities, and we hope that it will fall on ears and be used for good, for the further of your kingdom, and to help the people that truly need help and understanding and gaining access to the resources to better their quality of life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We just happen to have 5 more minutes. I wonder if I can. There is a way I could actually I could get, like, sponsorship by allowing commercials. So between each topic, I can plug in the commercials that are either, they could be 30-second commercials, they could be 1 minute, you know. So I'm actually going to work on that part of it, too. And all of my instructional stuff, it has a whole bunch of resources, a whole bunch of a nice little way to connect. There are also phone numbers we can have people call in. And I didn't post the phone numbers
It's on the page.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It's on the page, well, yeah.
Yeah, but see, like social media, things like that, if they don't click on the page, I can also just post the phone number.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah. So, yep, that's pretty much that first podcast.
Wow. Well, yeah, I really did format. I thought it was great, and I had fun with you.
Yeah, it's still rolling, actually.
Yeah.
You see the mm-hmm. on-air thing.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes there. But and what I really think too, it's like everything did kind of blend together well, actually. All things that affect our everyday life. So I think it was great.
Yeah. I put this in the category of motivation. I did not use it for the health category or health literacy because I knew I would be addressing a variety of things. Mm-hmm. And half of it is not, 3/4 of it is not health related.
Right.
3/4, you know, not health related. So everyone who clicks on the link to hear the recorded message, the recorded show, I hope you enjoy it. Feel free to comment. You will be able to send some type of response And I welcome all feedback and suggestions. And I thank you. And thank you. Thanks, Tim, for participating in this with me.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
All right. And we're going goodbye.
Bye.